This is the Generations Radio Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host with you. I'm a homeschool father of five, raising our kids out here in the Eastern Plains of Colorado during the slow but steady decline of Christian culture in the Western world, especially manifested in popular culture. Today, the pop culture element is pretty much the vanguard, pretty much is the most powerful and influential element in society to introduce progressivism, to introduce the decadence, which inevitably crosses over the line of despair. And that, my friends, has been the case for at least 50 years. So popular culture, very influential. It does have an impact on the general mood, the clothing, the thinking, the attitudes of our children that imbibe deeply of it. Steve Vaughn, also in studio with me today. Steve, welcome. Pop culture, as powerful and influential in our children's lives as education.
Yeah, and I noticed that you're wearing, you know, the pop culture, you know, vest and button down t-shirt and all of that, right? So you're definitely influenced by clothing in pop culture.
No, actually I'm wearing my 25-year-old sweater that I've worn for 25 years. I don't think it's in style, but keeps me worn down here in the studio. So, well, popular culture, very influential, friends. 13 Reasons is going into a third season. 13 Reasons is the television program that's very popular with teens, dallies with suicide, ennobles suicide, and presents sort of a celebratory suicide. And apparently it's still going on, the third season. And the director, the producers, the cast, at this point, apparently they have not committed suicide themselves yet.
And apparently they don't know why either. So there were supposed to be 13 reasons, yeah. Trying to still figure it out.
They're still trying to figure out why. And we have a reason why. We don't glorify suicide because it's a violation of God's law. And 13 Reasons does not state clearly that suicide is a violation of God's law. It's just that simple, my friends. Now, the devil can confuse. In fact, he's very, very good at confusing. That's what he does best. And so he gives you 13 reasons why you might consider suicide. But I give you one reason why you should not commit suicide. It's very, very simple. God exists. God made you in his image. And God tells you, don't kill yourself. You shall not murder. So, Steve, I think it's clear, you know, God gives us the reason, and we don't have to sit around wondering. This 13 Reasons program, of course, puts everything in the area of the negotiable, which is what the postmodern relativistic age does. It just, well, now let's consider. Let's think about the positives and negatives of suicide. Let's think about the positives and negatives of mass murder. Let's think about the positives and negatives of what Hitler did. That's postmodern relativism. And as Christians, we reject it outright.
Yeah, there is no reason for any of this. And when you eliminate any type of absolute truth, then all you have left is the lie. When you reject God, who is life, all that you have left is death. That's all there is. And so you've got to start with God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And if you're not going to do that, you're going to be a fool.
Was it Dostoevsky that said, if God doesn't exist, all things are possible? That is, you know, the worst possible evils can be tolerated and eventually are tolerated until man destroys himself off the face of the earth. So that was Dostoevsky. But let's get back to this 13 reasons why. Several media sources, including World Magazine, The New Yorker, other mainstream news sources, have concerns about 13 Reasons Why. This is World Magazine. Ever since the Netflix series 13 Reasons Why debuted 2 years ago, parent groups, psychologists, and social scientists have issued grave warnings about its glorification of teen suicide and violence. Now, a new study offers perhaps the most concrete evidence to date associating the series with a spike in suicide among teens. The study, published Monday in the Journal of the American Academy of Child and Adolescent Psychiatry, shows that in the month following the show's March 2017 debut, suicide rates jumped to a 19-year high for U.S. children ages 10 to 17. During April 2017 alone, that would have been just the next month after the debut, 190 tweens and teens took their lives, a 30% jump from the five previous years. Teen boys accounted for nearly all of the increase that year, with girls and young adults older than 17 displaying no increase. So interesting, interesting, interesting. At the end of the day, correlation does not necessarily imply causation, as we know. But the New Yorker also covered this and said, more recently, studies have suggested that news coverage of suicide plays a role in roughly 10% of suicides by people younger than 25 years of age, either by giving youth the idea to commit suicide or by providing youth always contemplating suicide with information about a specific method. And this would be the power of suggestion. I think that plays in to some of this. I have a hard time believing that just one television program contributes to the increase in suicide. And we have seen an increase in suicide 1% per year from 2000 to 2006, 2% per year from 2006 to 2016. And it turns out that suicide rates have increased more so for 45 to 64-year-olds than for 16 to 24-year-olds. So that's interesting as well. But the power of suggestion, Steve, I think does play in. Remember in Romans 7, Paul says, the law inflamed me. The law came. The law inflamed me. It killed me. It inflamed me to further disobey. So the law does inflame. That is, when you tell somebody not to do something very, very bad, that is oftentimes a suggestion to do it. The human heart's so evil that even the suggestion not to do something, like to take drugs or to commit suicide, can result in even more lawbreaking. You think about the mother who went shopping. She told her kids before she left home, hey kids, don't stick beans in your noses. She came home 2 hours later, and guess what happened, Steve?
They had beans in their noses.
Yes, exactly. So if she hadn't suggested it, she probably would have been just fine. But the heart is evil. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Tends towards this, short of the regenerating work of the Holy Spirit of God in our hearts. Well, we're going to talk a little bit more about 13 reasons, and we want to give you the other 13 reasons why in just a moment on the Generations Broadcast. Hello, my friends. This is your host, Kevin Swanson, with a special message. You know, we face tremendous attacks on faith, family, and freedom in our day. This generation sits on a knife edge, and the social and economic pressures are rising exponentially. But we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And the greatest need of the day is faith, faith-filled men, godly men to be husbands, fathers, and leaders. So this year, Generations is sponsoring not one, but two men's discipleship intensives for fathers and sons, young men, and church leaders. We are planning these men discipleship intensives for Paoli, Indiana for July, and Elizabeth, Colorado for November. Join me with Scott Brown, Mark Robinette, and others in Paoli, Indiana, or Elizabeth, Colorado this year. These events are space limited, so you need to register now for it. Register at generations.org/events. We are back on the Generations radio broadcast. Kevin Swanson with you, Steve Vaughn, also in studio today as we consider the 13 reasons why. Going into its third season, which means that modern man is fairly infatuated with the idea of death, this television program, popular with tweens and teens, is about suicide. And it's hard to believe that there's such glorification of suicide, but the other popular programs that are very, very popular today feature things like rape and witchcraft. It's incredible, Steve, how much of the most evil possible things are presented in full view, in a very plain view to young teens and tweens. And the influence, of course, upon their hearts and minds, horrible. But when someone commits suicide, we ought not to minimize the message. It's a message of despair. But on the other hand, Steve, I think it's important that we respond rightly. We need to contradict the message. And when there are television programs that dally with the idea of suicide, we need to go just the opposite and say, hey, suicide is a sin against God. It's the ultimate lie. When the guy commits suicide, says there's no hope, there's no reason to live, and there is no future in life. When that message comes to us, we have to disagree. We have to sort of violently disagree with it in our minds. And if I'm ever invited to preach a message at a funeral for a suicide, Steve, I'm just going to stand up. Now, I doubt if that will ever happen, but I'm going to stand up. I will tell them that I'm going to stand up and say, this was all wrong. This is just wrong. This was a wrong thing to do. This is a violation of God's law, first and foremost, but there's hope. What was communicated through the suicide was the ultimate lie, and there is hope. Christ has broken through all this despair and hopelessness by his rising from the dead, overcoming sin and overcoming the guilt of our sin and overcoming death. And we have every reason to live because Jesus lives. You know, we have to stand up in the face of a suicide and say, no, I'm not receiving this message. I don't agree with this message. I am opposing this message with everything that is in me. Now, that may be perceived as unkind and unfeeling and discompassionate to those who are trying to support the suicide, but we need to stand against it, Steve.
Yeah, we definitely do. It's certainly, as you said, just a message of total despair, that there is no hope. And that's you can live, 3 weeks without food, 3 days without water, about 3 minutes without air, but you can't live 3 seconds without hope. And Christ is our hope. And that's what we've got to place our lives in. The firm foundation, the rock on which we stand, an ever-present help in times of trouble. He is our hope.
As I mentioned, the rise in suicide, 2% per year from 2006 onwards, is not just because of this television program that appeared 2 years ago called 13 Reasons Why. Friends, the zeitgeist is moving in the wrong direction. The zeitgeist is despair in our generation. It has given up on the possibility of truth and ethics, and that there is a reality or that there is a hope, that God is all good, and God is bringing an all good finish to a world of evil. God is pulling his redemption out of this, and he will redeem, and Jesus will reconcile all things to himself in the end. So we're going to respond that way to this depressing zeitgeist in the post-Christian age. And Steve, I want to give 13 other reasons why kids may commit suicide. I emphasize the word may because some of the reasons may apply or may not apply. And some are primary, some are secondary, but 13 other reasons why kids may commit suicide. Number one, they're taught they are cosmic dust and they are just floating around a universe of pure chance and there is no transcendent purpose for life. And I think that message is conveyed. You don't hear the public schools saying, kids, we have a reason for why we're studying this stuff. We're here to rejoice in God, to know God, and to glorify God, and to be impressed with God, and to praise God, and to enjoy God forever and ever. You don't hear that very much in the public schools these days.
No, not at all. What you hear is that you're just glorified naked apes that, like you said, came from cosmic dust. There's no reason for you to actually be here except for a random chance, and no reason for you to stick around.
That's number one. That's the other 13 reasons why kids may commit suicide. And again, these are the reasons not touched on by the television program, 13 Reasons Why. Kids are not taught that they are made in the image of God to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. They're just not taught that. In fact, they're taught just the opposite, as Steve said, but they're taught just the opposite. Day in and day out, hour in and hour out, for tens of thousands of hours by their media consumption, by their public schools, they're taught that this world is meaningless. There is no transcendent purpose for life given to us by an absolute transcendent God who created us for a reason, for a purpose, and that is to live for him. Number two, kids are not able to ward off the devil because they are in the lap of the evil one. Now, again, these are worldly children. 1 John chapter 5 reminds us that the world is in the lap of the evil one. And so, if you're in the lap of the evil one, and you haven't heard the gospel, and you haven't received the gospel and come to Christ by faith, you're still in the evil castle. The devil's got his hand on you, and you are in the lap of the evil one. And so these kids' minds are filled not with God's truth, but they're filled with the devil's lies. And Steve, that's what it is. I think there's got to be a demonic influence in much of this suicide. That it's the devil that comes to rob, to steal, and to kill. And he's involved in this. You know he is. There's a spiritual aspect here. So another reason why kids commit suicide, they're just not able to ward off the devil because they are in the lap of the evil one. But thanks be to God that Jesus came to crush the Satan's head and to bring about our radical salvation and deliverance from Satan's captivity. You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. You were by nature children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together in Christ. By grace, ye are saved. All right. Number three, in the other 13 reasons why. Number three, kids commit suicide because they've been swept up into the postmodern zeitgeist of isolation. And isolation, I think almost everybody knows isolation is unhealthy. There's a proverb that says a man who isolates himself has given up on wisdom. And so this modern zeitgeist of isolation really does wrap the kids up. And they listen to their music and watch their programs like 13 Reasons Why on their iPads all by themselves in complete isolation. So the isolation of the postmodern zeitgeist has been devastating. And number four, they hang out with the wrong peer group that have been isolating themselves as well and are unable to be friends in the traditional sense of the word. So even though they have acquaintances, Steve, I don't think there's friendship in a world of isolation.
No, it's, you know, the virtual friends and the social media friends are not really friends. There's not that close connection. Texting only gets you maybe 5-6% of the actual message, because most of your message is nonverbal communication. And so when you're doing that sort of texting and doing the social media thing, you have to put in your own emotions into all of the texts that you receive. And that's going to drive you to despair as well, because if you're depressed and alone, you're going to read everything as if you're depressed and alone.
And the only thing that can break through this isolation is that reconciliation we have with God, the reconciliation of relationship with God. And then we begin to see that as we are incorporated into Jesus and we have a relationship with a true and living God, we begin to see ourselves developing relationship again and reconciling ourselves with each other as well. So again, the other 13 reasons why, friends, kids commit suicide, their families have been fragmented and parental guidance and communication is severely reduced. And this also has been negative. And, you know, some of these reasons, I'm sure psychiatrists would agree, worldly psychiatrists would agree, because it's just so incredibly obvious where people isolate themselves, just very, very dangerous. Then number six of the other reasons why, kids have been completely unaware of heaven. They just don't know that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed in us. So they just don't know that. They don't believe it. They don't understand that this world is not the final end for us. We don't find our best world now, or our best life now. And I think the lie that somehow you've got to find something of a best life now will be a disappointment to many who don't find this life to be all that good here and now. And it turns out that the sufferings of this present time really are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed in us. Number seven of the other reasons why kids commit suicide, they watch too many movies that present an endless conflict between the Greek gods or the superheroes, and they finally realize the fruitlessness and meaninglessness of a polytheistic world. That is, they get that worldview that doesn't allow for any ultimate, that there is no ultimate good. There's no ultimate God. There is no ultimate sovereign. Instead, there are these Greek gods and superheroes that day in and day out, year in and year out, sequel in and sequel out, they continue to fight it out in a polytheistic world where they try to gain control of the Infinity Stones for the next 6 months until the other guys get control over the Infinity Stones, and it goes back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. And kids get the message eventually that there is nothing but fruitlessness and meaninglessness in a polytheistic world where the gods are fighting it out with each other. The eighth reason why kids commit suicide, they're leaving the church by the millions. And that itself is not going to be healthy, friends, as they pull away from the only hope, the gospel of Jesus, and the reminder of the gospel of Jesus that comes from the preaching of the word and the presentation of Christ, who came to die on the cross and set us free from our sins and to bring us to heaven. As they give up on that message, the end is not good. Listen to 2 Peter. If after they have escaped the defilements of the world through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the last state has become worse for them than the first. Now, the ninth reason why, of the other 13 reasons why kids are committing suicide, they're becoming more dependent on antidepressants instead of the antidepressant, and that would be Jesus. That would be Jesus Christ. You know, Americans have become more dependent on antidepressants. We've seen an increase of 65% in just the last 15 years. All right, the last few reasons why, number 9, number 10, they aren't working. A lot of the young teens aren't working. And all of this entertainment stuff, all of these ideas communicated through programs like 13 Reasons Why is not healthy. And the idle brain is the devil's playground. Number 11, they aren't serving others. And the ultimate selfishness takes place when one commits suicide. They're not used to giving up themselves for others. They're self-consumed, which, by the way, is another aspect of the zeitgeist today. The existentialism that seems to characterize so much of modern life encourages one to live for oneself and to be consumed with oneself. And selfishness will end in suicide in so many instances. We aren't here to serve ourselves, friends. We're here to serve others. Number 12th reason why kids commit suicide, they aren't getting married and serving their spouse and children. Number 13, and this the final, this the most important reason why, there is an increase in suicide going on around the world. Some 900,000 people commit suicide in any given year. Here it is. The final reason why people commit suicide, they have never believed in Jesus Christ, the mighty Son of God, who has risen from the dead. You know, as we embrace the resurrection of Jesus, as we see what Christ did at the cross in overcoming sin and overcoming death and providing a way of salvation for us, every reason to be depressed is gone. Steve, what sort of bad news could ever trump the good news of Christ's resurrection?
I can't think of anything, because Christ's resurrection trumps everything. And if you know, so even, you know, one of the things I've told my kids as well as others around me, if you have Christ, if you are saved, this life is the worst it'll ever be for you, and this life isn't that bad. Even with persecution and with other things that are going on, this life is not that bad. God has given us a love of life because God is life, and then we go on from glory into glory into glory. But for those who are perishing, this life is the best it'll ever be. And that might be why you know, part of that last bit. If you don't know Christ, then you don't know life, and all you know is death.
And it is true, as Christians, we're taken as lambs to the slaughter, but in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us, because Amen. Nothing can separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ, Romans chapter 8. All the pain, all the threats of death, all the guilt that depresses us, all the sinful habits that keep us in bondage, every enemy has been crushed by the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior and Captain and Lord. And let's be encouraged in that. Romans 10:9 challenges us to this faith. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And friends, that's the right message. We get so many of the wrong messages. We are constantly bombarded by the wrong messages, the wrong suggestions, whether it be by the demonic realm or by popular culture. But take the real message. Take the gospel message as the highest reality, the highest truth, God's truth, as the ultimate truth. Indeed, the Word of God gives us that assurance that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. And friends, if you believe that, you will be saved. Well, as we wrap up this edition of the program, we deal with the issue of pop culture in my little book, The Tattooed Jesus, in which we talk about how popular culture does its best to undermine the resurrection doctrine and contradicts the idea that Jesus is risen from the dead. And popular culture is incredibly powerful in the lives of our children. It is so influential. If we have any contact with it, if you watch the movies, listen to the music, you have some contact with popular culture, I'd encourage you to our little book, The Tattooed Jesus, What the Real Jesus Would Do with Popular Culture. Pop culture is influential. It has an impact on the general mood of our children, sometimes the clothing, the thinking, the attitudes of our children. How is popular culture affecting you? Are you discerning it properly? Get a copy of our book, The Tattooed Jesus, What the Real Jesus Would Do with Pop Culture. And that book is available at our website, kevinswanson.com or generations.org. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.